It's time for us to hear the word of God. And our preacher today will be Brother Serge Iripi. I love this guy so much. Very young and very great. You are welcome, Pastor.
Good morning. Good morning. Can we just appreciate Brother Emmanuel for leading this service? He is a wonderful leader. And every time he leads a service, I think I have something to learn from him. And today again, I've got something new to learn from you, and may God bless you. So, are we okay this morning? It seems to be very cold, but hope that by the end of the day, everything will be okay, and that you'll have refreshed and warm up your body in Jesus' mighty name. So thank you so much, Pastor, for giving us this opportunity again to speak today. We really appreciate every time you allowed us to stand to share God's word. And we say thank you. We are so grateful for that. And before we dive into the word of God this morning, I'd like us to pray. Let us pray. God, we're so grateful for everything that you keep on doing into our lives. And thank you for this wonderful moment as we're about to listen again from you. We pray that you'll speak to us in a way that is clear and that is easy for us to understand. We trust you because you have something to do with us. And as we start this month of prayer, we pray that you will move among us, that you'll move in our family, that you'll move in our church, that you'll move in this city, that you'll move in this nation. And we believe that your move will be bringing restoration, peace, and love into our lives. God, we say thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So this month of July, the church is beginning with a new series. We are in a period of prayer and fasting. And the first 2 weeks of this month will be dedicated to prayer and fasting. And I will encourage each one of you just to take even 2 or 3 days, even if you can, go even for the 14 days of prayer and fasting. And I believe that God will be revealed, God will be exalted in this period. And as an English service, this month is dedicated as a month of prayer, a series on prayer that we have given the title of Your Kingdom Come. Your Kingdom Come. We'll be praying for divine intervention into our lives, into our families, into our churches, into our cities, into our nation, and around the world. And I can tell you, this is a decisive month where we have to be sharp, we have to be open, we have to be open even to be ready to listen from God. And this topic, Your Kingdom Come, we'll be going through the book, different books, but it comes from the text of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where Jesus is teaching his disciples on how to pray. And when we go in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples come and say, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciple. It's a request. They believe that they don't know how to pray. And they want to learn how to pray. And they come before God, they come before Jesus, and they say, Master, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus say, when you pray, you will say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And the text continues. But why your kingdom come? Why your kingdom come? Your kingdom come is not just a word by itself, a prayer. A kingdom come is an active prayer. It's not just a passive statement, but an active invitation to the kingdom of God, to the sovereignty of God, for the authority of God, for his presence. So when God, Jesus is teaching his disciples and tell them, your kingdom come, pray and say, your kingdom come. He's telling them, when you feel like you can't make it again, when you feel that you have failed, call on God and say, your kingdom come. It's not just a passive word. It's not just those words that we speak on a by the way not. It's a word that by itself has power in it. Your kingdom come is a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. Because imagine the right situation we are going through and you say your kingdom come. It's like calling a new government to come and take over. To call for a new authority to come and rule over us. And the question is, those who are leading, those who are reigning right now, where will they be going? It's a dangerous prayer that we are making when we say, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come is also a recognition prayer. It's a recognition prayer, a prayer of surrender, where we say, God, we can't do anything by our own. We can't do it. We are tired with this kingdom. We are tired with this leadership. We recognize that you alone can and will change our situation. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender again. I wanted just to give us a brief introduction of what will be happening this month. Because this month, we will be learning the essence of prayer. We will be encouraging one another in prayer. And we'll be praying for one another. We'll be calling for God's intervention into our life. In general, that is what will be happening this month. Now let us go back now to our topic of today, because I wanted to give you a general view of what is happening. But today's topic, as we start off this sermon series entitled Your Kingdom Come, we'll be learning from Jesus. So the topic of today is Jesus. And we'll be studying Jesus as a perfect example of a prayerful life. Because there is no one else who has been praying like Jesus. No one who can compare his prayer to Jesus' prayer. The way he prayed, the way he did his prayer, it's an inspiration to us. And the reason why the disciple comes and go to Jesus is because they recognize that they don't know how to pray. And they go to Jesus and say, God, teach us to pray. And I want us to have the same attitude today and say, God, teach us to pray. Jesus as a perfect example of a prayerful life. Can we open our Bible in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35? If you have an e-Bible, please open it. It's your right to open, to use even the e-Bible. But we encourage also to have a printed one. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says this. I'll be reading from the NKJV version. And the Bible says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Early in the morning, Jesus rose early in the morning and went for prayer. But the question this morning, as we start studying about prayer, I would like us to have another definition of prayer. And what is a prayer? What is a prayer? And I define prayer as a spiritual discipline in which people or individuals try to connect with the high power. A discipline, a spiritual discipline in which we try to connect with God. Prayer is a discipline. And it's a discipline among others. And we have different disciplines that the Bible gives us. The Bible gives us Bible reading as a discipline. Worship as a discipline. Fasting as a discipline. Serving as a discipline. Studying the Word of God as a discipline. But today, we'll not focus on all of them. We are focusing only in one, the prayer that helps us to connect, to have that direct connection with God. I take also prayer as a road that leads us directly to God. When you start praying, you're starting the journey directly to God, where you want to encounter the Most High God. In fact, in prayer, when our knees hit the ground, when we kneel down, our hand and our thought touch the heaven. That's prayer for us. Every time you kneel down, you touch the heaven. Prayer. When you start praying, you bring the heaven down. So, do you want to bring heaven down into your situation? Kneel down and pray. Do you want to touch the heaven? Kneel down and pray. But the Bible speaks about different types of prayer. And I will not mention all of them. I'll just mention the few. And when we read Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we read this book of Philippians, it gives us different options directly to prayer. It gives us, when we read also the Bible, we found different kind of prayer. We can find prayer of confession. These are prayer that make us confess our sin one another, but also confess our sins to God. We have the adoration prayer. The adoration prayer helps us to acknowledge the greatness of God. We see who God is. We believe, we see what he has done. We see his part, his splendor, and we are like, wow. We stand in awe, in adoration. And that's become an adoration prayer. We have petition prayers. In prayers, petition, and thanksgiving, a petition prayer, it's a prayer that is a self-centered prayer. It's a self-centered prayer. So I can say a petition, it's a selfishness prayer. Where you can pray only and only for your needs. And sometimes when we do that, people don't understand. They think that we become selfish in our prayer because we are not praying for others. No, it's not being selfishness. That is not selfishness. It's a petition prayer where only you can pray for your needs. In fact, no one understands your need better than you do. So stand and pray for yourself. That's a petition prayer. Then come an intercession prayer. An intercession prayer, it's a prayer where now you forget yourself and you start standing with others in prayer. You pray for different need of other people, and that you begin to intercede and pray for others. Comes other kind of prayer. We have a prayer that we call a lament. Lament prayers, they are those prayers that you keep on complaining over and over. Why is this happening to me? Did I sin for this to happen to me? What did I do wrong for this to pray to happen only to me? It's kind of the world, it seems like the world is falling on your shoulders. And you start lamenting, lamenting. And let me say this, when you lament, it's not a sin. It's a prayer that you are making. In fact, during the lamentation of prayers, God hears our prayers. He hears the deep sorrow that we are feeling, and he reaches to us, and he comforts us. In fact, at the end of lamentation prayer, there is hope that rises, that we say, we are not alone, we can live again. It's your right also to lament and make such prayer. The Bible gives different people who had lamentation prayer. Job did that. He did not die. So if you lament, you'll not die. But in your lamentation, pay attention. Do not sin against God. We have the agreement prayer. Agreement prayer are those prayers that together we sit and we agreed on one thing. And we pray for that things. We agree on one subject. We agree on one topic. We agree on one prayer point. And we pray for it. That's an agreement prayer. And God loves when we do such kind of prayer. We have also a thanksgiving prayer. A thanksgiving prayer, it's a prayer that gives thanks to the Lord for what he has done into our life. And sometimes thanksgiving prayer pushes us even to say thank you to God before we receive what he has promised us. Sometimes a thanksgiving prayer, it's a prayer of faith where you declare thank you, God, even if you haven't yet received. And I will encourage each one of us to make such kind of prayer. Because those prayers are so powerful. You are praying for a job. You are praying for some situation into your life. Even before you see the solution, just say, thank you, God, because I've seen it. And those who knows how to write songs, that was the part when they wrote and say, even when I don't see it working, even when I don't feel it working, you never stop. You never stop working. You never stop working. Don't wait to see something happening for you to thank God. Because the God that we serve is a miracle God who will answer us. So what are some practice or habit that we can learn from Jesus? The first one. It's begin with prayer. Begin your day with prayer. The Bible says early in the morning. Early in the morning, Jesus rose and prayed. Now the question is, why should we start our morning with a prayer? When we start a morning with a prayer, this becomes an act of gratitude. You know, sometimes when we sleep And we wake up, we take that for granted and think it's a normal thing to sleep and wake up to sleep and wake up. It's not a normal thing. It's God working. So when we start praying, when we start our morning of prayer, we make an act of gratitude. We recognize that God has been so good to us. When we start the morning with prayer, it helps us seek the face of the Lord, even the guidance of the Lord. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning, I will seek you. In the morning, I will seek you. Seek the face of the Lord. Oh, in the morning when we pray, we do not only seek, but we refresh our souls. It's like rebooting a system. Brother Jeremy will understand that word very well. Because there's time when the system crashes. You try to do this, it refuses. You try that one, it refuses. But when you start praying that morning, you are refreshing the system of God in you. You are refreshing that one thing that was not working in your life. And you say, in Jesus' mighty name, be refreshed because my Lord has to work with you the whole day. Starting a day without a prayer is like starting a day with a low battery in your phone. Who has ever started his day with a low battery? Let's bring it closer to us. You take your phone and boom, low battery, and you have to go. That day, for real, you look for a charger everywhere. Don't you have a charger? Don't you have a charger? So starting your day without God, it's kind of starting your day with a low battery. So fool yourself with the Holy Spirit. Fool yourself with the Word of God and be refreshed. Isolation. That's the second point. Start your day with God. Isolate yourself. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 to 16, I will read this one. It says, however, when the report went around him all the more, and a great multitude came to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Even when you start your day with a prayer, during a daytime, make sure that you get a moment where you can isolate yourself. Put yourself in a corner. Sometimes we are so busy in doing, and we start crashing. Our head doesn't think again. That's the moment you have to pause, pull back. When you pull back, you go aside and pray. When I say isolate yourself, it can be, you can just sit at your desk spot and pray from there. And if there is a prayer, a quiet place where you can go, go there and pray directly to God. And the Bible gives us Jesus who isolated himself. They said when the multitude of crowd was surrounding him, Jesus found himself in the business of God, of healing, touching, doing this and that. The Bible said sometime Jesus withdrew. And I was wondering, how did Jesus could withdraw from the crowd? I'm sure he didn't say, hey guys, wait for me a bit. I'm going to this corner to pray. No, he didn't do that. I think at some time I was looking for a good verb to express this, but I couldn't find it. So I want to use a Swahili word that we are so familiar with. And the Bible said, I can say Jesus was quivering. You know, quivering It's kind of, people see you around, but at some time they are wondering, where did he go? Hey, he was around someone, and people are like, did you see Jesus? And you are like, I was seeing him near Jeremy. But no, and you go to Jeremy like, no, I was seeing him near Pastor. Oh, I was seeing him. Jesus quivered. He ran away and said, no, this work is too much. I want to just go and isolate myself. And that was the time he left the crowd during his work and said, no, it's time for me to pray. Even when work is too much for you during daytime, get a few moments to go and pray. Isolation. The essence of prayer is not a public style, but a private communication with God. When we read Matthew, the Bible gives us some people who were standing on different corners, praying loud, so that they can be seen with men. And I wonder how they were standing, probably on a certain corner. Oh, Jesus, you know me. I am holy. I have done this and this. And Jeremy, who doesn't know, who is not that holy, is like, oh, God, what is wrong with me? He starts blaming himself. The Bible calls those guys hypocrites. But the Bible says prayer is not a matter of a public style. It's an isolation thing where you can isolate yourself and pray. When we pray, let us make God our audience. Let us make our audience the guy who has to listen to our prayer and forget the rest. Pray with purpose. Pray with purpose. When we pray with purpose, we have to come to God with good prayer points. I remember when I was about to say when we were young. I remember that I'm still young. Isn't it, Jeremy? This is a brother we grew with, so I'll use his name over and over because we know each other better. So, when we were very young, we used to go for a prayer meeting without knowing what we are going to pray for. The idea was just to go and attend. And there you pray, the one leading prayer will take you as he wants. And you will pray and you will pray and you will pray. And at the end of the day, when you go back home and sit, you start reflecting. And you wonder, what was I praying for, by the way? I've spent 2 hours, 3 hours praying without knowing what I was praying. So when we pray, Jesus said, go with a purpose. Don't just go and pray. Otherwise, they will tell you the Spirit will lead. And we don't know how he'll be leading us. Yes, he can lead. He does lead even. But when you go to God, go with specific prayer points. In fact, those who go to a prayer meeting without knowing what they are praying, it's when their neighbor is praying, they are like, oh, God, that is my prayer too. They start admiring people's prayer. Why? Because you didn't come with a prayer request before God. So come with point one, God, I need this. God, I need that too. I need this. And when you'll start praying, you'll know why you are praying, and you will quote the word of God because you know what you are looking for. Philologue. When people come for Friday Maombis, probably you should start asking them a question. What is your prayer request? Yes, we'll be having an agreement prayer, but you should know also what you are praying for. Don't just come here and spend 2 hours, 3 hours in prayer, and then go back and reflect and say, what was I praying for? Philolog, make sure that people have their prayer point. It's very important. Believe in God. Believe that God will do. Another lesson that we have to understand is believing in God that He will do something. Believe in God's plan. Jeremiah said, I know the plan I have for you. Proverbs 3:5 said, lean not to your own understanding. Isaiah 60, verse 22 says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So at the right time, God will fulfill His plan. Trust in God because He has a better plan for your life. He has it. End your day with prayer. End your day with prayer. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 say, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. When evening came, He was alone. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. Reflecting. See how the God, how the day was. And just reflect. Let me conclude by saying this. The God we pray is not deaf to hear. The God we pray is not blind to not see what we are going through. The God we pray is not dumb to not speak to us. So you know what we have to do? We have to make sure that prayer is not a last resort. That prayer is not a last option, but a vital part of our daily life, a source of strength, and a mean of aligning our will to God. And may the Lord bless you.